This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. We are live, I believe.
Can you hear me?
On both platforms, on Facebook and Instagram. Inshallah, we're going to ask Fatima to send that request to join live, inshallah. So that should be coming up any second now. There we go. Go live. All right. Salam wa salam, Fatima.
Alaykum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. We're good from your end?
Yep, I think so.
Awesome.
I was asking you earlier, can you hear me? But I forgot that I didn't request to go live.
Me and Fatima have been at this for like a good like month now, and we're still working it out. Like we're 50-year-old parents, and we're like, oh, is this how you do the Instagram thing?
Is this the Insta?
This is what they call TikTok. It's a totally wrong platform. Well, alhamdulillah, really, really happy to be here with everybody. Alhamdulillah, streaming on Facebook and on Instagram for our Roots community. So today, inshallah, we'll start off, obviously, bismillah, walhamdulillah, as-salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Starting off with praising Allah, thanking Allah, sending our prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessed family. We are here joining live. Ustada Fatima, alhamdulillah, took care of us last Thursday, actually, all by herself, because I had to. Last week was my wife's birthday, so I took one session off just due to the fact that I had to just kind of take her, alhamdulillah, to this. You can't really do anything right now anyway, but we just went to a park, social distance at a park, like Sheikh Abdul Nasser so lovingly does, you know, whenever he has free time with his kids. But alhamdulillah, you know, we're back today together for another joint session of Soul Food, where we talk about different wisdoms from different ayat in the Quran. Specifically, this series we're doing is focused in on the best story, essentially called Surah Al-Qasas, which means the story. Ustada Fatima last week, she ended with verse 56. And in verse 56, just to kind of recap with everybody, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. And this beautiful verse, where I'm sure Ustada Fatima explained it to you guys better than I can, the incident that was behind this ayah was when the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, had passed away, and the Prophet, you know, may peace and blessings be upon him, was so upset that, you know, a person, a family member, let alone, was so close to him and spent so many years with him, that even he was not able to accept, you know, la ilaha illallah before he passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on begging him, right? Kalimatan, kalimatan, just say it so I can intercede for you on the day of judgment. And, you know, Abu Talib, when he passed away, he says, ala dina Abdul Muttalib, that I'm on the faith of my father, Abdul Muttalib. And the Prophet was like completely just really distraught by this. I mean, Ustada Fatima, you've been, you know, situations where you have to almost like teach this portion of the surah, where the Prophet was really distraught that, you know, his beloved uncle wasn't able to accept Islam. And then Allah sends them this ayah, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, that you will not always be able to guide the people, أَحْبَبْتَ, that are beloved to you, right? That Allah, on the other hand, guides the people who He wants to guide, and it's His plan to guide. And so, this is a really, really, really powerful lesson for us to remember here. That, you know, sometimes you just won't get what you want in life, you know, and it's kind of a difficult pill to swallow, because, you know, once I at least, you know, if you're in college, right, or older, you start to get used to doing the things that you want to do, right? I think when you're like younger, you just follow the rules of, you know, the house that you live in, and, you know, you got to take out trash on Thursdays and do laundry on Saturdays. But when you're living by yourself or you're living in college, you're starting to get a little bit more independent. You grow this kind of sense of I do what I want to do on my own time. But life throws at you these situations where that's just not going to happen. You had a plan to graduate in 4 years. You end up graduating in five. You know, these things just happen in life. And Masada Fatima, is there any sort of, you know, thoughts you can share with us in this realm about this ayah, right? That you can't always do what you want. You can't always guide the people that you love. Rather, Allah does what He wants, right?
I think a big part of the ayah too is recognizing that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was given a mission, right? He was given a job, he was given a mission, and he has to fulfill that mission. Mm-hmm. And part of, sometimes we think that like our mission, part of us fulfilling it, is changing people or changing someone's mind or changing the situation. And it's really just us doing our part and then leaving it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, knowledge intensive is happening right now in the Qalam world. Okay. Knowledge intensive is happening. And someone asked a question. They asked a very interesting question. They said, well, we were talking about the hadith where the Prophet says that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, that whoever claims belief in Allah in the day of judgment, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ, that that person should speak good or remain quiet. So somebody asked the question, well, how do we change people when they're doing something wrong? Because it may require for you to tell them that they're doing something wrong. They took the hadith as like, telling somebody they're doing something wrong is like bad. And I said, well, first the question is flawed because we don't change people. You know, we advise, we see a situation, we work through that situation, we try to figure out a situation as much as possible, and then we leave the rest up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our part in this world is to do the best that we can, right? So it may be that we want something, and we may make dua for that, and we may put all the little things in motion that we need to put in motion, but know that only, and if only Allah wills it for it to happen, it will happen. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will it to happen, it doesn't matter the amount of love, it doesn't matter the amount of care, it doesn't matter the amount of nights you spend up trying to work on this thing, it will not happen because God did not will it. It doesn't matter how many people may dua for you. If Allah does not will it to happen, then it won't happen. You know, and so with the Prophet, I felt like this was a huge reminder in which Allah presented to him at a time where the Prophet not only loved his uncle, but he loved the entire ummah. Like, he would be very, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Harisun alaykum, that he would be very like sad over you all about the things that you would do, because he wanted Jannah for everybody. You know, he wanted belief for everybody. That he will be sad about what the Quraysh would say to him, not because he cared about their words, but because he wanted better for them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him constantly that your job is the mission. But you don't change the hearts of people. Like, you don't have that ability. That's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think this reminding us just to do our part and not worry about other people. Like, you can't worry about the part that the other person is doing, or you can't worry about, you know, you cannot be so fixated on the outcome because you don't have control over that outcome.
SubhanAllah. That's really, really powerful, actually. It almost reminds me of the ayah in Surah Al-Imran, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ, that, you know, once you have done whatever you can, and فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ kind of refers to decision-making, like once you've decided upon what you wanted to decide on, you know, just فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, you know, put your faith in God after you've done whatever you can in your human ability. Because when a human being starts to think that I have the ultimate say in the outcome in certain situations, you're almost setting yourself up for disappointment, right? Yeah. And that's when people actually truly go into what we call denial, because you cannot believe that this didn't work out for you, yeah. Right? You cannot believe that after all the hours you spent studying and turning in applications and getting your credits in line, that you didn't get into the school that you wanted to. And it's so, so depressing for us, because during that entire time, we're thinking to ourselves, man, I did everything right. And you could have done everything right. You could have done everything right, actually. You could have made dua. You could have done your salah properly. You could have done whatever you could in terms of your human abilities. But it was just not written for that to happen. And I think that's almost like a lesson. And what's another beautiful thing that I think, you know, Brother Fatima will probably also, you know, agree with this, is that even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be reminded of that by Allah, right? So don't think that, you know, just because he's the Prophet, everything he understood and knew right away. Allah even had to educate him that there, as a Prophet, that's your life, that's your mission. Your mission is not to become, you know, a doctor in life. You know, your mission is not to become a teacher. Your mission is not to become a lawyer. Your mission is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Yeah. And even though sometimes people may not listen to you, that's not your ultimate decision to make. Your job is to tell people in the most beautiful way. Your job is to reiterate the message of Allah in the most beautiful way, and then leave it to Allah to guide people. That's it. And so a beautiful reminder, Jazakallah Khair, Ustaz Fatima, for sharing that with us. So we now turn to Ayah 57. Ayah 57 starts off with a response that the Quraysh have to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's giving them a little bit of da'wah about Islam. Like Ustaz Fatima mentioned, that the mission of the Prophet was to attract as many hearts as possible to Islam, because that is what a Prophet is supposed to do. It's supposed to educate, supposed to teach, supposed to guide. And he was guiding the Quraysh as well as he possibly could. And the Quraysh, they come out and they actually say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we were to follow the guidance with you, if we were to follow the guidance with you, ma'aka, they say, we would be swept. We would be swept from our lands, min ardina, that we would be taken away from our lands, meaning that they were afraid that, and there were some Quraysh, by the way, and it's not, you know, a lot, there's a big misunderstanding that during the time of the Prophet's reign in Mecca, that every single one of the Qurayshis, they hated Islam for the message of Islam. That's not true. What their kind of confusion was about Islam, or their almost, I would rather say the word, their conflict with Islam, was that they were told to abandon the ways of their forefathers and turn to this new way of life and new faith that would be a way of salvation for them. And so because of the tradition that was already just lodged deep within their culture, they were afraid that if they left their father's tradition, that they would be swept away from their positions of being the Quraysh, right? They would be swept away from their money, their status, their social lifestyle, their economy, everything would be taken away from them. And so this was their worry. And so then Allah reminds them. Then Allah says, you know, awalam numakkin lahum haraman aminan. You know, Allah says, have we not established for them a safe sanctuary? Have we not made them the people of Mecca? Because I don't know if anybody has visited the city of Mecca, but the city of Mecca is, it's called the Haram, right? There's an area in the city of Mecca where the masjid is, where the Kaaba is. It's called the Haram. It's called the sacred place. There is nothing that goes on in there that's not sacred. And you know what's really interesting is that the Haram, there are narrations that say the Haram will be protected until the end of time. It will just be protected because it's literally the home of Allah. You know, if you can you go back into your past kind of memories of the Quran, when there was a story of a tyrant by the name of Abraha, right? And Allah described this in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. He tried to storm upon the Kaaba with his massive army of elephants and people. And all of a sudden, you know, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلِ. We destroyed him. We sent upon him these birds, طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلِ, with these small tiny birds with clay pebbles in their beaks and their talons. And فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And they became like destroyed, like they were nothing. And this is like a testament to prove that the Haram will always be protected. So your fear, right? Your fear of if I accept Islam, I don't really know if it's going to protect me. Like how, like, you know, Allah tells you, have I not protected you before? Have I not taken care of you before? Have I not given you a life? Have I not given you sustenance? Have I not given you a family and people to love you? And this is a really interesting thing. I want to get your take on this, Ustada Fatima, about how, you know, sometimes we in our lives, we fear that if we, you know, if we become certain type of people, for example, like when you're younger, you have this really, really, you know, difficult time in your life where you have to make decisions whether you want to be a person who is influenced by your faith or influenced by other people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the decision isn't easy. And this is why I don't like making a joke out of it, because it's really not a joke, because people do really struggle with that decision, whether I want to be accepted by my society, or I want to be a devout worshiper of Allah and take nobody's, you know, nobody's hatred or anything like that to heart, because I know Allah got me at the end of the day. So in this position of the Quraysh, they're worried that if they accept Islam, that they will be essentially kicked out of their positions of power and status. How do you reconcile this thought, Ustada Fatima, when Allah tells them that, have I not taken care of you before? How do you, in from this ayah, how do you kind of bring about some sort of reflection from it?
I think that a big part is that the concern that they had was misplaced. Mm. You know, a lot of times we forget about who the creator is and who Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's limitless ability.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes a lot of times in our own brains, even as Muslims, as believers, we limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability. And mm-hmm. so what happens is that we fear that, okay, if I follow this rule or this command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked me to follow, then it's very possible that I will lose out on X, Y, and Z, but not realizing that you're in a blessed position in the first place.
Mm.
You know? So like even in this particular ayah, you know, the Quraysh, they attributed the fact that they had land, the fact that they had power, the fact that they had all these things, they attributed that to their other deities.
Mm.
So they felt like if that's why they put those idols inside the Kaaba, because they were like, this is what's keeping us, you know, sustenance. This is what's giving us this risk. This is what's giving us all of these things. And so they misplaced the gratefulness to some other being, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so for us too, sometimes what we do is that we put a lot of our value, we put a lot of how we look at ourselves, our status or whatever, we put it into other people. So what will happen if so-and-so finds out that I started wearing hijab?
Mm.
You know, what will happen if this job finds out that I'm Muslim? Then I won't get the job anymore and I won't be able to pay my bills and I won't be able to be independent. Well, who gives risk? The one who is al-Razak, who is the one who gives you provision so that you're able to do those things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you, especially if you're sacrificing for His sake. You know, we sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't make that level of commitment for other people. You can compromise with people, but you do not sacrifice with people. You sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a lot of times what we do is we misplace this, and we are not aware, or we don't recognize what God has given us before. And that's why gratefulness is so important. Because if you're on a daily or even on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis going through the different blessings that you have that are way beyond your control, then you'll realize that they're just like those blessings that you have now are beyond your control. There are things in the future that are going to be way beyond your control, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has you set up. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. And you do these sacrifices that may feel uncomfortable for the sake of God, though. Because sometimes faith is uncomfortable, you know? Sometimes praying in public is not, like, who likes praying in public in Texas?
Yeah.
No one,
yeah.
You know? It's uncomfortable. Sure. But what are you doing? You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are placing your trust in Him. And so this ayah is very beautiful in the sense that, for us to reflect on, in the sense that sometimes when we're talking about it, we're like, oh, the Quraysh this, the Quraysh that. We forget that we have that same mindset. We just call ourselves believers.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of things that we are supposed to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't do because we put our trust in people and not in the one who created people.
SubhanAllah. That's really eye-opening, actually, that... I love what you said at the end, where you said that, you know, we sometimes say like the Quraysh and like, you know, the Bani Israel, the people of Musa, and you know, they weren't believers and they didn't believe in Allah. But a lot of the same struggles that they had are actually found dormant within us. Mm-hmm. We just believe in that La ilaha illallah portion, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of the inner struggles that they had, you find very, very normative in people even today that call themselves Muslims. You know, it was really interesting. We were actually talking about this in the life of Asma bint Abi Bakr. Asma bint Abi Bakr was like a really, really generous person, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And her and Aisha were half sisters, right? They had different mothers, but you know, they were describing the difference between Aisha and Asma. And you know, Aisha was kind of one of the people who would, when it came to giving, like generosity, she would basically save her money until she had a lot and then she would give it. Asma bint Abi Bakr thought differently. She said that to herself, that I'm going to become wealthy by giving away things, right? And you know, like when this is Ustada Fatima, kind of, she mentioned this, is that when we think about risk, we think about provision and blessings, we think to ourselves that, you know, oh my goodness, you know, if I sacrifice certain worldly gifts that I have, then I'm going to lose out on it. I'm going to be a loser. But real people who believe, true believers, really think to themselves that I will only get more if I give more and if I sacrifice more. That's actually the way that a believer, a mu'min, or a person who really believes actually thinks. And this is really interesting and really beautiful. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a little bit of an example to the people of the Quraysh. He says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرِيَةٍ بَطِرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا. And he says to them, and how many a city have we destroyed that was insolent in its way, right? They didn't understand, they didn't accept the way of La ilaha illallah. And they inhabited, you know, and those are their dwellings which have not been inhabited except briefly. And it is we who are the actual inheritors. So when Allah said, and now he brings up in Ayah 58, he says, you know, look at the people that have come before you, O Quraysh, right? Look at the people who come before you, O people who live in, you know, United States of America 2020. Look at the people who came before you, the people who, you know, they've been given so many signs, so many blessings, so many provisions. I mean, some of the most, you know, destroyed communities were actually the most wealthy, if you think about it, right? Allah talks about the Thamud and the Ad, right? And even Fir'aun, the Pharaoh in Egypt. So many of these communities were given everything, right? They were given everything. And Allah kept them around for a long period of time. The people of Noah, the people of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he was given this long, long life. Some narrators say like 950 years or so of just, you know, sending the message of telling people about Islam. And Allah kept on giving them chance. And then at the end, when it was just, you know what, it was done, that's when the people were destroyed. But I want everyone to understand one thing, and we'll get Ustada Fatima's take on this in a second, is that, you know, when we read stories like this, we think to ourselves, like, why? Why did Allah destroy a whole community of people? Very few times do people look at the hundreds of years of chances that they were given, right? How many chances were you given? And I always give this example, right? When you have a parent and the child continues to misbehave, okay, he messes up one time, the parent is like, hey, watch it, right? You shouldn't talk to people like that. The next time the child makes a mistake, the parents might just, you know, grab their arm and just kind of like shake them a little bit. Hey, then I remember what I told you before. The third time, the parent might put the kid in timeout. You know, you can't come out here like this because you're misbehaving. The 10th time, the parent might do something that really shakes the kid up a little bit, you know? And by watching that example, another sibling watching is like, I don't have anything to do with this, right? Like, I can relate because I'm a sibling, right? Like, and usually, but I'll be honest with you, I was the example that was, you know, usually made out of for my siblings to watch. But
I was not. I learned from other people's mistakes because I didn't believe in repeating the mistakes of others.
The son of Fatima also has a bunch of brothers who were the ones that probably got the heat. And so she was the one that was just the innocent bystander that just witnessed all of it.
I was the one peeking from behind the wall. I was like, nope, not gonna do that.
She saw the wrath that exists called mothers and fathers. And so, you know, at the 10th time of reprimanding from the parent might do something drastic. But sometimes the only thing that we focus on is the 10th time of reprimanding. Yeah. But you don't see 1 through 9. Because Allah does that a lot with us, right? And look at this. How many times in our lives do we think about this, right? You know, I remember I didn't used to pray before. So I remember something that happened to me. Yeah, and then I started to pray a little bit. But then quickly I forgot again. I started to neglect my prayers again. And Allah, you know, reminded me with a little bit of like a reminder. And then I forgot again. And then Allah reminded me with another reminder. And then the 5th time, something really, really crazy happened in my life. And then I never missed prayer again, right? And so this is almost the way that Allah teaches us. And so he comments about this in the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ to tell the Quraysh that, have you not seen what happened before you, right? Have you not seen what happened to the people of Noah, the people of Hud, the people of the people of Prophet Shu'aib and the people of Prophet Idris? All these different people were destroyed after given centuries and centuries and centuries of chances over and over again. So Ustaz Fatima, my question here to you now is, how do we get people to really understand that Allah truly does not punish, and there's nothing, and I know that we actually learned this, you know, as students, that Allah does not gain any pleasure from punishing. That's mm-hmm. absurd, right? When you think about that, you know, it's like saying like, oh, and this is when people kind of draw really, really unfair conclusions about God, that God enjoys punishment, God enjoys reprimanding. Allah takes no sort of joy in punishing people, right? But how do we kind of reconcile this principle that Allah talks about in verse 58?
I think one of the biggest things, even in this ayah, that we should see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ, okay? And he says, and how many nations have been destroyed before? بَطِرَتْ, okay? بَطِرَتْ means for someone to be overly, like, arrogance is one thing, and then it means to be overly arrogant and overly prideful, okay, mm-hmm. in ma'ishatiha, in their just craziness. Like, they were overly prideful, overly arrogant. And the thing is that when we talk about the punishment, or we talk about the way that people were destroyed before, the nations that came before, they showed this level of just arrogance that bled into their disbelief. It wasn't just a simple type of arrogance. It wasn't just like, oh no, I don't need that. It was extreme. It was, why should we worship your Lord when we've created all of this? Like the people of Ad and Thamud, they had strength and they will build their homes and carve their homes on a mountain. And this is really cool. It's like amazing. But who gave them that ability? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we're talking about this, imagine you go to someone's house, okay? Imagine you go to somebody's house, you're just helping them out. You know, you put all their furniture together, you sweep, you clean their entire house, you wipe everything down, you know, they need their TV mounted, you go through hardship, you mount their TV, you can tell I just moved because these are all the things I needed done and I just got them done. But you get their everything together. They have kids, you take care of their kids for them, you make sure you make some lunch so that they don't have to worry about it. You do all of these things, all of this. It takes you like 2 weeks to make sure this is perfect. You present it to this person, they're like, wow, this is amazing. This looks beautiful. And then they turn around and they say thank you to your cousin who they never met.
Mm.
They turn around, they say thank you to your sister who was never there.
Mm.
Imagine you give somebody so much without, and you weren't even expecting like anything. You're not expecting them to pay you. Out of the kindness and the mercy in your heart, you decide to do all of this. Not only do they not show any type of gratitude, but then they turn around and they thank someone else for all the hard work that you did. Mm. Obviously, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not hard work. This is just easy. He says, kun, and it is. He mm-hmm. says, be, and it exists. But how do we, as human beings, have the audacity to attribute the things that God has given us, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, to other people? You know, to put it in the hands of other people. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, he's not bringing it in a way to like show off. He's not saying, oh, look at that nation, I destroyed them, and I destroyed them too, and I destroyed them. No, he's giving us an example. He's telling you, listen, I don't want to punish you. I don't want you to end up in a bad situation. So because I don't want you to end up in a bad situation, because I love you with all of my heart, these are the things that you should do, and these are the things that you should stay away from. And here are some examples.
Mm.
Here are some examples. It's like math, you know? I don't know. Yeah. If anybody's not that great at math, you know, your teacher can teach you theory all day. You can do worksheets all day. But if you don't have examples, how do you comprehend? You don't. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the theory, which is actually reality. He gives us life to put into practice. And he gives us examples so that we know that this is how we are not supposed to be. This is what will happen if you act this way. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't bring these examples up in a way that is like, oh, fun and games. He brings it up for us to really sit down and think about that. Our job is to not be arrogant. Our job is to realize that, you know, the things that we have so much pride over, that those things belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Meccans have so much pride over their land. They don't realize that you have so much pride over this land. And the reason why your land is sacred today, the reason why your land is what it is today, that people flock to it for Hajj and things of that nature, is because of the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because Ibrahim alayhi salam said what? Rabbana taqabbal minna.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Allah, accept from us. And then what does he say? And he says, Rabbana waba'at fihim rasulam minhum. That mm-hmm. Oh Allah, send them a messenger from amongst them that will purify their rituals so that they know and they're able to do what they're doing properly. Like you have everything you have because of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so here it's so important for us to realize that we cannot, the struggle is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle is definitely temporary. It's not forever, it's temporary. And you don't let this little bit of struggle deteriorate you or take you away from remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's in control.
SubhanAllah. That's incredible, because in the next ayah in verse 59, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَىٰ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا يَتُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. That literally your Lord would never destroy towns without first giving them حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا يَتُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. That Allah never ever reprimands ever until first he gives everybody a chance, right? Yes. And this and that's the most interesting thing about this life is that for people who think that this life is permanent, that this life is the end. It is all of my life. That's it. They will never understand the true beauty of creation.
Yep.
You know, that Allah says, look, and it's so interesting, you know, like my wife and I were actually discussing this just a few days ago. I remember this is that, you know, we're like, it's interesting to just think that, and we were out at this beautiful lake and, you know, it was a nice scenic area. It's very hard to find in Dallas, Texas. You know, I know South Fatima, the struggle is real. Not many nature spots here in Texas that allows you to reflect on God.
Yeah.
But there are a few spots. And,
it's true. You go out to enjoy the lake and you're burning. That's true.
You almost want to like jump in because it's like 115 degrees out at like maghrib time and you don't understand why, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Fajr is the worst. When you wake up for Fajr, you open the door and it's 84 degrees outside. You're confused if it's morning or night because you're like,
wait, hold on a second. Did I miss Fajr and skip straight to Dhuhr? Like,
I remember one time I thought I was being cute and I was going to go to a park to pray Fajr, so I wore a hoodie in the summer.
Yeah.
Walked out, it was 91 degrees outside at Fajr time to pray in the park. You know, like people up north, they get to like 60, 70 degrees, yeah, you know what I'm absolutely. Saying, in the summer. No, so, never again.
So all y'all's cute little Fajr stories, just keep it to yourselves, okay? Because we don't know what it's like, okay? We
exactly.
just don't know what it's like. You don't want to have
things and go off of Fajr.
No, you can't.
We're baking.
The concrete is like a pizza baking steel that's been preheating for overnight. So it's just not possible. That's why I think everyone in Dallas is just so indoors. We just don't know what the outdoors really are because it just doesn't happen. So here, you know, Allah says, you know, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَىٰ, that we haven't destroyed towns حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا, right? That we don't destroy towns, we don't reprimand anybody until we've given them a messenger to recite the messages to them. And, you know, nor will we destroy towns unless inhabitants were actually evil people, right? Yeah. Like, and that's the interesting thing, you know? And we were talking about this, and this is why Surah Al-Qasas is so beautiful, is that, you know, when people read the story of the Pharaoh and they see his demise in the Red Sea when he was drowning, and they're like, oh, but he was, you know, he accepted Islam at the end, and, you know, he was begging for, you know, that last bit. But Allah, this last part's very important here, when Allah actually says that, We don't destroy anyone illa wa ahluha zalimun, unless they were actually evil. So it's almost like trust Allah here. Trust Allah that the people that Allah had to reprimand, they actually needed it. They needed it, right? Because if Allah let them go, they may have actually done something worse to the future generations that came after them. So understand that number one, Allah is all merciful. I mean, think about it, guys. if you were, and you know what, this is almost like a blessing, actually. It's a blessing, and actually it's something that's sad in reality for us, is that, you know, it's almost an easy path that Allah has given us, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't in our life right now, because if he was, man, your responsibility would be terrifying, right? Yeah, you would literally, man, if you were in the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you refused to pray Fajr, that's different than you refusing to pray Fajr right now. I mean, if you have a guy like the Prophet in your community and he literally was your teacher and he literally was your community member, then there would be no excuses for a lot of our mistakes that we make nowadays easily, right? So it's almost a blessing that Allah has given us this kind of, you know, learn, try to be the best that you can, learn from his examples, but be very wary that Allah only reprimands people that he absolutely needs to reprimand. And all the reprimanding that Allah did is, like Ustad Fatima said, he loves you, man. He loves you and he wants the best for you. Just like the closest relationship that Allah has ever compared his relationship to us with is a mother and a child. And that's it. That's the closest thing. And that doesn't even come within like an arm's reach of what the relationship really is. And ask yourself, what would your mother do for you? Would your mother take pain for you? She has already. Would your mother starve to make sure that you could eat? Absolutely. So think about the blessings that Allah would rather give you rather than reprimanding you. And so in this final ayah, Allah at the end, he says that whatever things you have been given for the life of this world, okay, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتُهَا. And just understand that whatever things that you have been given for the life of this world are merely temporary. That everything you go through is temporary in this life. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That understand that there will be moments where you will have to sacrifice in this life for your religion. There are moments. I mean, how many times, guys, let's be real here. How many times have we had to skip that gathering because we knew it wasn't okay for our hearts? How many times have we had to consider, I may not actually be, this job may actually not be good for me because it's actually making me do something that's not okay with me, right? Maybe, you know, maybe I had to quit a job because my boss didn't even give me any time to pray during the daytime. And when I asked him, he said, deal with it, right? And we had to quit because it was something that was bad for our faith. How many times have we had to make tough decisions because it was the right decision to make? Even then, with that pain, Allah says, understand, فَمَتَعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتُهَا, that this pain that you feel of sacrifice is temporary, because this life is a life that's extremely temporary and it's adorned with just glorified vanity. That's what this life really is. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And that which is with Allah is always going to be better. وَأَبْقَى. And it's going to be forever, you know? And so one of the beautiful things that I wanted to end with here, inshallah, Ustad Fatima, end our session today for us, is reflect on the idea that whatever beauty that you're seeking in this life, it will be even better in the hereafter. You want all the money in the world, whatever you have in this life, it won't amount to any wealth that you'll have in the hereafter. You want luxury and relaxation in this life? Sacrifice a little bit here and you'll get the brunt of it in the hereafter. You want to have the best family and the best people around you in this life? People will slip up in this life, but guess where you'll have it even better? وَأَبْقَى, and everlasting, you'll have it in the hereafter. And that's Allah's promise. And Allah says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Only will you not use your reason. Don't you understand, right? And he's calling you smart at the end of the day. I know you understand this, right? So Ustad Fatima, if you had to kind of share one last thought and reflection with us in this last ayah about the temporary nature of this world, what would it be from your side, do you think?
I would say that, you know, the biggest thing is to always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always looking out for your best interest.
Mm.
That if there's anybody that has your back, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has your back. And so the important thing is that it's so important for us to always keep our faith and our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what makes those sacrifices a little bit easier.
Mm. SubhanAllah. That's super powerful. And we wanted to keep it really, really short and very, very really, really reflective for everybody today. And inshallah, we were able to at least accomplish a fraction of that. For the people who are commenting to save this session, Oh, you're fine. The people who are commenting to save the session. This session actually is live streamed, and obviously Instagram has gone full IGTV mode with everything. So we always save our sessions to our posting feed that's up on the Roots DFW account, so anybody can benefit after the session's over, inshallah. So this session will be available for everyone to listen to on Facebook and on Instagram after we go off the air. But jazakumullah khairan, thank you so much, Ustada Fatima, for joining us, and really appreciate your time, and also for everyone being a part of this discussion with us. And may Allah reward all of you. May Allah reward your families and keep your families safe and in good health and in good iman. And may Allah Ta'ala accept from all of us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan, everybody. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.